And welcome back to Breakthrough Entertainment right here on 1480 AM. KPHX in Phoenix. Greg Isaac, Joseph Berto, and of course our great producer, Eric Reinert. And I don't recognize what movie this is coming from. Now, Joseph, do you think I've seen the movie the song is from?
Well, this is La Femme by Hipsaline. No, I'm sorry. This is La Femme singing from, Hipsaline.
From The Saint?
Well, no. Another way that you could, because we're number 1,000.
Okay.
The 1,000th way that you can die in another country, wow, is by getting lost in the catacombs. As above, so below.
Is that the name of the movie?
The name of the movie is As Above, So Below. I think it came out last year.
Yeah,
it's a found footage type movie.
Oh, okay.
But it's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
So, I mean, have you ever gotten lost in the catacombs?
I never have, luckily.
No, don't get lost in the catacombs, because you might die.
You probably will.
Yeah.
That's not good. You don't want to die.
At the very least, you might bump your head.
Mm-hmm.
At the very least.
Yeah.
So,
trying to avoid that as
much as possible.
Yes.
No concussions.
So, Breakthrough Entertainment's 1,001 Ways to Die in Another Country. We've only got one more way to talk about. That'll be at the end of the show.
Yeah.
But before we get to that, we've got to talk about some of the other movies that opened this weekend. Of course, I gave a breakthrough to No Escape. I highly recommend you check this movie out. Also recommend you check out Turbo Kid.
Turbo Kid, yeah.
So give a thumbs up to that one. So let's talk a little bit about Digging for Fire.
Okay.
I'm holding this behind the camera because that way it looks like I'm a newscaster.
Yes.
Because we need like a teleprompter in here.
Here's the weather report.
That way people don't see that my hair is thinning as well. Digging for Fire, Jake Johnson and Rosemarie DeWitt play a married couple whose chance to stay at a fancy home in the Hollywood Hills is complicated by a discovery of a bone and a rusty old gun in the yard. A disagreement about it sends them on separate and unexpected adventures over the course of one weekend. This was directed by Joe Swanberg, and it sounds very familiar. I think he stole the idea from what Bobby was doing last weekend when she found a bone in her yard when she was in the garden.
Okay.
Don't you remember that happening last weekend?
I remember her speaking of it, yes.
Yeah, she was telling us about how she found a bone in her yard. So I think that...
Sorry, I don't listen to what she says.
That's terribly mean. Very offensive. But you like Joe Swanberg, Greg, right? And you like Drinking Buddies, which is, a lot of the cast members are in this, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, with Jake Johnson coming back.
Yeah. You know, writer-director Joe Swanberg keeps making the same movie.
Yeah.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
It just depends. Now, in this case, I hope it's a good thing. And like you said, a lot of the people coming back, Ron Livingston, you throw in there, and Anna Kendrick.
Sam Rockwell.
Sam Rockwell,
is in this one?
Which Brie Larson and Drinking Buddies, I forgot.
I think, I don't remember.
Okay, I'll check it out. She's great. I think we have disagreement on her. I think
I really don't like Brie Larson very much at all.
I think she's great. I think 21 Jump Street, ooh.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Unfortunately, in my opinion, that's not a good thing. At least not in this case, because this is not a very good movie. Whether it goes by the title Drinking Buddies, Happy Christmas, or most recently Digging for Fire, the story always revolves around a group of not particularly likable people talking incessantly about not particularly meaningful things. I'm interested to see if when you see this movie, if you're going to agree with me, because you might disagree, Greg.
I might.
The initial setup is at least more intriguing this time around, but it's quickly placed on the back burner in favor of tedious rambling. I mean, there's so many different actors in this movie, but their characters are just, I mean, this is like throwaway characters.
All over the place type of thing.
Yeah, and when the plot's promise finally materializes, we finally see what is in what he's digging for.
Mm-hmm.
But it's buried right back up again as if it never even mattered to begin with. That is an absolutely terrible way to just handle a movie, just to like, here's the premise, let's hide it for a while, and then let's just like, it never mattered. Thumbs down to Digging for Fire. I'm sorry.
Man.
But the movie that is the movie that's leading the pack in terms of the new releases, of course, Straight Outta Compton is looking like it'll be number one again.
Absolutely.
But you're saying number two might go to War Room.
Yes,
possibly.
They're close right now.
Okay,
yeah.
They're close. Okay. Wow. Well, Priscilla Evans Shearer plays a woman who is challenged by another woman to establish a battle plan of prayer for her family, whose world is crumbling under the strain of a failing marriage. As she tries to fight for her family, her husband's hidden struggles come to light, and he must decide if he is willing to make amends to his family and prove the woman's wisdom that victories don't come by accident. This is a faith-based drama, family drama, kind of marital drama.
Mm-hmm. Sounds boring.
It's all how you look at it. But, you know, yeah. Alex and Stephen Kendrick have made some great movies, Fireproof and Courageous. Courageous, okay. I particularly liked because it's a faith-based movie, but it's kind of a cop drama, a family cop drama.
Okay.
I really like that one because it's universally appealing.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's understandable that these filmmakers aim to make movies that are targeted as a specific audience, namely devout Christians. But there's some benefit to being a little less heavy-handed and making a movie whose message is wire-reaching. I mean, any faith-based movie, do you want to like preach to the choir, or do you want to draw more people in to that beneficial message? Because regardless of how you look at it, these movies have beneficial messages. I mean, it's about being a good person.
Right. They probably want to draw more people in.
Right. Mm-hmm. They don't even try this time around. This one's just, I mean, about people who they're telling you to make this war room a prayer closet that you go into and pray. The concept of a widely appealing film is completely discarded in favor of an annoyingly narrow approach. The marital melodrama is occasionally compelling. I really like these characters.
Yeah.
I really did like these characters. I wanted to see them succeed and, go through their trials that they were going through. But it's just the incessant and forcible pulpit pounding alienates general audiences, and it appeals purely to people whose entire worldview is locked up in a prayer closet, which sounds a little bit mean. I didn't mean it that way, but I kind of did. It's thumbs down for War Room. So I'm very sorry about that. I know. Another movie that's getting great reviews on Rotten Tomatoes is Z for Zachariah. Margot Robbie plays a young woman who, in the wake of a nuclear war, survives in her on her own, fearing that she may actually be the proverbial last woman on Earth until she discovers the most astonishing sight of her life, another human being. Chiwetel Ejiofor, a fragile, imperative strand of trust connects them, but when a stranger played by Chris Pine enters the valley, their precarious bond begins to unravel. People are really loving this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I am not.
Really?
Right. This is...
No.
Z for Zachariah would have been more accurately titled Z for Prosaic. That doesn't make any sense, but neither does the movie.
I don't even recognize Margot Robbie.
I know. She doesn't look like her at all in this movie. She looks like some foreign woman. The new post-apocalyptic drama moves at a snail's pace, which is not particularly a bad thing so long as there's at least some suspense or tension to fill the pregnant pauses. Unfortunately, this has about as much suspense and attention as the love triangle it portrays has passion, which is none at all. The fact that it was directed by Craig Zobel is truly devastating. This is the man who brought us Compliance.
Haven't seen that.
Eric, I think that you've seen Compliance, right?
Remind me.
The guy calls it was a fast food restaurant, and he says that he's a cop and he's demanding that.
Yeah, and he makes her take her clothes off.
Yeah, makes her take her clothes off and do. They're like, yeah. Very disturbing movie, right?
Yeah, it was hard to watch.
Yeah, very hard to watch movie. Kind of slow, but very tension filled. Yeah. This one, very slow and no tension at all. Huge thumbs down. And finally, Zipper. I told you last week I gave this a thumbs up, so I'll just mention it briefly. Patrick Wilson plays a family man who has it all until he risks losing everything due to his inability to fight off his obsessive temptation for other women. Lena Headey, John Cho, Diana Agron, Ray Winstone, and Richard Dreyfuss also star. Again, this succeeds in its efforts because of your reaction to its final few moments. You're guaranteed to be a bit emotionally distraught. You're just really drawn into this drama. It's a kind of a political drama about this guy who's got the sexual exploits that really are not going to look good on his campaign and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Or not his campaign, but just his public stature. It shows how well that this filmmaker has humanized a character whose actions are disappointing, to say the least, and merely a reflection of the many real-life politicians and other individuals who we hold to a higher standard. I mean, there's several real-life situations of the, like that, no? And the cast performances are incredible, especially Patrick Wilson. They all delve into some really dark places to shine new light on a surprisingly complex situation. Thumbs up to Zipper.
Okay.
So, today I'm giving two thumbs up and one breakthrough and three thumbs downs.
Okay.
So if you want to hear zipping a recap, go to breakradioshow.com. There's an article on there. You can hear the whole show as well. But as far as September goes, Greg,
yes,
we've got some great shows lined up.
Absolutely. You know, the fall TV preview, I remember last year's. Always looking forward to that.
Yes, the fall TV preview is going to be on Saturday, September 12th.
September 12th.
We've got Tia Mowry. She'll be joining us. So several other guests from new and returning TV shows will be joining us on our fall TV preview. You will also want to stay tuned. Next week, we will be talking about A Walk in the Woods. And our Walk in the Woods show, talk about hiking the Appalachian Trail with Robert Redford and Nick Nolte.
Okay. Yeah.
So that should be exciting.
I'd rather, of course, with Robert Redford. I think you chose Nick Nolte.
Yeah, I chose Nick Nolte.
I can just see Nick Nolte going crazy on there.
Yeah, but, you know, I kind of like the voice. It just kind of interests me a little bit. Yeah.
Help.
And then
I used to be a good actor.
And in 3 weeks, what's our theme in 3 weeks? Our Everest show in honor of that new movie Everest. It's going to be opening on IMAX screens.
Okay.
We'll talk to someone who's actually climbed Everest, I think, six times climbing Everest. So we'll talk about that. And then our last weekend in September, before our Halloween extravaganza, will be Breakthrough Entertainment. You know, we've had all these controversial shows in the past. We've had Breakthrough Entertainment's sex show.
Yes.
We've had Breakthrough Entertainment's sheep show. How controversial was that?
Mm-hmm. Wait, which show?
The sheep show.
Yeah.
But I'm just joking there.
I don't remember it.
But we've done some really odd topics in the past. We've had, you know, the locksmith show. Remember that one? That was interesting. But we're going to finally, you know, get to our cannibalism show, Breakthrough Entertainment's cannibalism show in honor of the new Eli Roth movie, The Green Inferno. We will talk with an actual, either an actual cannibal or a cannibal expert.
Okay.
I don't know. What do you think?
I really hope we go for the expert.
The expert? You think?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not talking about having him in studio. I'm just talking about talking with him.
Yeah. No, still.
Eric?
You never know.
Eric, you're the tiebreaker.
I mean, we saw Anthony Hopkins,
so
how discreet he was. And
do you actually have your fingertips on a actual cannibal?
I might.
Are they related to you?
And
no.
And Body of Christ doesn't count.
No, yeah. No, of course not. No. I didn't like that War Room movie, I told you. but no, I don't have an actual cannibal. I think we'll probably just go with a cannibal expert. But that would be kind of interesting to hear it straight from the mouth of a cannibal.
It would not.
Well, I mean, how can you be an expert unless you haven't tried it yourself?
That's true.
You can't really be that much of an expert.
You know, I think we need to do a budget bistro on our cannibalism show.
No, no.
No, I think we could do something fun.
Like eat a person?
No, not eat a person, but
yeah,
like
we're going
have
to eat
something
some
like cannibalism
today.
Themed. You know, if you're going to like throw
I'm
a cannibalism party.
Well,
maybe we should roast some duck.
Cannibalism party.
Go. Yeah.
They feed people.
Wow.
Who would be the first one we eat? Probably the Joseph, right?
Why?
I don't know.
But who would put together the next month's show? Oh.
Well, if we're eating each other, we won't be on the air anymore.
When my son was like a... probably about seven.
He ate someone?
No, we were talking about Canadians, and he goes, ooh, Canadians eat people.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow, Canadians eat
Is
people.
Is it because he saw the South Park movie?
He mistook cannibals for Canadians.
Oh,
wow.
Man.
Well, I hope Canadians don't eat people, but...
Little Eric.
But let's go over our picks of the week. Mine, hands down, has to be No Escape. Like I said, haven't felt that excited after walking out of a movie as I did for San Andreas, which just blew me away.
Yeah.
So No Escape, you've got to go see that in theaters on the big screen. Greg, what do you say?
The one with Owen Wilson that I saw.
She's funny that way.
She's funny that way.
Squirrels to the
I
Nuts.
I think that's only Squirrels to the Nuts. I think that's the only movie anything that I saw this week.
Okay, all right.
If in the next minute I think of something else, I'll let you know.
And Eric, I've got you out there on our Meerkat stream. What is your pick of the week?
The Cobbler.
The cobbler?
I'm totally kidding.
With Adam Sandler?
I was totally kidding. That's dumb.
You're not kidding.
No, I've caught up with Ray Donovan on Showtime. I've caught up with Homeland on Showtime, and now I'm into Fargo on FX. That's good.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I do have another pick.
Okay.
A show I've seen before, the one season it was on. I've watched on Netflix before. It was a while ago. Undeclared.
Okay, yeah, that's good.
It's funny, between that and Freaks and Geeks, I know Freaks and Geeks people liked a little more. I tend to lean a little bit on the Undeclared side. They're both outstanding.
I think I like Undeclared as well, a little better.
Which is fun, you know, and the characters in there. Of course, Charlie Hunnam before he, you know, really bulked up, Sons of Anarchy. But, you know, it was kind of a new type of humor coming back when Freaks and Geeks, Undeclared came out, and then a few years later when we saw the 40-year-old Virgin. So Judd Apatow... guys like that kind of turn things around in a good way, and so it's a lot of fun. If you haven't checked out that show, it's on Netflix. You know, only 17 episodes, I believe.
Yeah, pretty,
before
yeah.
its time, I believe.
Yeah, I agree.
But it's cult classic now. That and Freaks and Geeks, both are shows you need to check out.
They are. They are. And this has been Breakthrough Entertainment's 1001 Ways to Die. In another country show, I don't know what ways to die we're going to talk about next year, but this is really cool. These like on-topic theme
ways
things,
to die
the,
while
the
doing
sequels,
laundry.
Yeah. But the 1001th way, is that the right way to say it? 1001th way of dying in another country is in London.
London.
By Werewolf.
Oh, gosh.
Of course.
Yeah, it could happen.
The last song in just a few moments that will take us out of the show is by the Marcells, Blue Moon from American Werewolf in Paris. In London, sorry.
London. I just saw that a couple weeks ago. I rewatched that after years.
I like the sequel, the reboot or whatever, too.
I like Jenny Agutter.
Yeah? So, again, next week we've got Breakthrough Entertainment's A Walk in the Woods show.
Yes. Outstanding stuff. Special thanks to all our guests we had today. And Bailey Richard, Jason Dudas, of course, Monroe Chambers and Laurence LeBeau. And as Joseph said, we'll be back next week. And stay tuned for Real Hockey Talk coming in a couple minutes.
And everyone check us out on Meerkat at Breakthrough Entertainment. I heard somebody whisper me.